Kimber, have I told you that I've got a new hobby? eating garbage. Have I told you eating garbage is my new favorite thing to do? Because
garbage while watching garbage.
Well, no, I mean there is a new piece of trash on Netflix, and my wife and I cannot get enough of it. it is called The Ultimatum. And now, if you haven't seen The Ultimatum, take a listen to this.
The only thing scarier than losing you right now would be to marry you. I do
blame. You're here because someone in your relationship has issued an ultimatum.
I want a ring on this finger.
One partner is ready to get married and the other isn't sure.
I'm not ready to propose.
Take a good look around at each other.
You're gonna find out if there are people here
who might be a better fit.
I think that there's a possibility that I could be happy with somebody else. Yes.
I definitely thought giving Jake the ultimatum would bring us together. It is doing the complete opposite.
So The Ultimatum is a TV show that's on Netflix where basically couples come to Nick Lachey and his new... What's his new wife? Who's his new wife? I can't remember what her name is. Fine, we'll find that out. But anyway, Nick Lachey, who used to be with Jessica Simpson back in the day. You might remember the show Newlyweds. I'm pretty sure it was Newlyweds that they were, were on. But yeah, he's there, she's there, and they bring these couples together. And then they split the couples up off the back of the couples bringing each other together going, hey, we're going to this thing and I've got an ultimatum for you. Either you will marry me or if not, then this is our opportunity to work through those. But they get like thrown in with other couples' spouses.
Yeah. It's marry or move on. And so they're not just saying, hey, let's get the couples in and we'll take them all for counselling and we'll see if you're not interested in getting married, let's work out why and let's fix this. They go, there's other couples here who have also been offered an ultimatum and I think you'd get along with them. So why don't you go spend 3 weeks with this other dude and see if you'd still like to go back with your original partner or if you'd want to hook up with this guy.
Now, this is... I don't even know where to start. Like Liz got onto this show before I did and was like, babe, you gotta come watch this show. And then we had a bit of time, late nights over the weekend, so I was like, okay, I'll sit down and watch this show. And I'm just sitting there gobsmacked because like they're going with these other couples' partners. They're partnering up with others, they're hooking up, they're doing it, and then they're just coming back to their other partners and going, you know what? Yeah, I reckon we should get married. I reckon we should get married. We're in. I'm on board
now. It is really weird. I mean, I think for me, like, the whole idea of an ultimatum does not sit well with me. Like, any idea of an ultimatum, whether it's getting married or whether it's something else, ultimatums for me are controlling. So I'm not really into them because it's forcing someone, I think, to make a decision that doesn't necessarily align with their beliefs. And so that makes me feel uncomfortable. But I also understand that people issue ultimatums usually as a last resort. They've kind of tried other communication. They've set some boundaries. They've exhausted all other options. Mm. And so they're going, you know what? I don't know if it's because you're not telling me your truth or you could never see yourself marrying me or whatever is going on here. But like, I need an answer because I have to move forward whether it's with you or not.
And I have heard plenty of examples of that. That's where I see the lesser part of the controlling side of that. I see a person who has been with somebody for 15, 20 years. They're like, where do we go from here? You haven't asked me to marry you. Is this actually got, you know what? Marry me or else. Otherwise, what are we doing here? And don't get me wrong. Like, I get that, you know, marriage is not the be all and end all. And that's coming from a bloke who is married. But for a lot of couples, it's like, you know, from here, I need to tick the marriage box before then we tick the kids box. If we're not going to get married, then do we want to have kids together? If we don't want to have kids together, what are we even doing together? Like, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
So I see that. I see that. You've been together for 20 years. The ultimatum happens because you need to sort this stuff out and move on, whether it's with that person or it's with somebody else. You need an answer. I totally get it.
It's very personal, though. I mean, some people will be together for, you know, a year or 18 months and go, no, I need to get married because this is how my family do it or this is how I do it or I believe in it. And if you won't marry me, you know, it could be 22 years of age and going, I want to get married because it's important to one person. And the other person's like, no, I'm not, this is not important yet. And I kind of understand that it's not at the time. I go, if you don't have to get married, what's the big deal? If you're someone who doesn't really worry about marriage in either direction, then just get on with your life. Why does the marriage matter? So it's, I think it could go any way, but I don't know if ultimatums work. I would love to know if you've ever issued someone with an ultimatum or whether anyone's given you one.
We've got Vanessa in Darch. Ultimatums, Vanessa, have you given one or have you gotten one?
I gave one to my then boyfriend.
Okay,
how long had you been together?
Now we've been together 18 years.
Okay, and so what made you get to the ultimatum stage? Had you had some communication, and what was your ultimatum?
We had a very recreational use with drugs, and my ultimatum was give us the drugs or I won't marry you. And yeah, 15 years later, we're still married.
And good job.
So it was a good ultimatum, I reckon.
Okay. Solid. Could have gone any direction. Were you prepared to lose him?
I was pretty positive it was going to go in my way.
Right.
Mm. That's awesome, Vanessa. 15 years on and you guys are happily married and having a great time. That's absolutely brilliant. So there you go. I mean, there's another ultimatum we weren't talking about before. Like, people are like, that's unhealthy for you. I need you to move on. This is the sort of relationship I want as we move forward.
Yeah.
We've got Kathy in Trigg. Did you give an ultimatum or did you get one?
No, so I gave one to my, he's my husband now, but my boyfriend of 15 years at the time. And yeah, I'd moved over from Scotland to come and live in Australia and just thought, you know what, I've made that sacrifice. Either you decide that, yep, you're in, or I'm going home.
Wow, okay. And did it take much? Do you think he was in and just went, yeah, no worries?
No, because I said at the beginning of the year, you've got 12 months, and if you haven't done it by next year, I'm going home. And he made me wait till New Year's Eve.
See, I love Kathy. I love that. You gave him time to plan. That is the best part about that. You knew it was coming hell or high water by the end of the year, and you gave him time to plan.
Yeah, and he needed it because he took the whole year.
There you
unreal.
Go. All right.
I can't believe that. It almost feels like if you're going to offer that ultimatum, that it needs to be like this month or nothing. Or, like, if you don't know now, how are you going to know in 11 months?
Well, you may as well ask him yourself. Just be like, hey, marry me now. Hey, Penny. Good morning, Penny. What was your ultimatum?
Good morning. So when I moved in with my boyfriend, I said to him, if he wasn't ready to marry me within 2 years, then I wasn't going to stick around.
And what happened?
He proposed about 18 months later, I think it was.
Oh, 18 months. Perfect.
Yeah.
Why is everyone like scraping over the line at the last second?
Well, we'd only just moved in together, so I didn't want to push it, but I also wasn't going to waste time because I wanted to get married and have kids. And if that wasn't his vision, then...
Penny, had you guys been together long before you moved in?
About
18
months as well.
Okay, so you're already, I mean, not that long, but 18 months is still plenty of time. So you've had plenty of time to get to know each other. You've probably dropped your L-bombs. You're like, we're moving in, we're taking the next step. I get it, mate. I'm with you. I'm with you, Penny. Yeah. I'm with
18
you.
18 months.
Is it going that way or it's not?
Yep.
Wow. 18 months, Pete. I've had colds longer than that. I don't know. I've just been watching a really enjoyable video this morning. It's not laughing at other people's misfortunes. It's because this could happen to me. I imagined it happening to me and my friends and we're like, this is great. So there's a woman's gone out with her mates in the UK for a couple of drinks. And I want you to imagine a restaurant with like a booth seat, but a booth seat that goes around a corner.
Okay.
Right? So it's so you get that weird little corner in the back behind the couch there that could maybe fit an umbrella or an umbrella stand, something like that.
Right.
Well, this woman's jacket has fallen down behind the sofa. So she's turned around and leaned over the sofa to pick up the jacket. And she's fallen head first into the hole. And it's great because she can't get out. And her girlfriends are finding the thing so funny. They're boozy and laughing so hard at her that they have to get the staff to come and pull her out by her legs. And it takes a surprising long time to get her out of the bench seat. And, I mean, everyone was just having a great time and thoroughly enjoying it, really.
So it sounds like they managed to get her out.
Restaurant cheers when they got her out.
Brilliant.
But the thing is, I think part of the reason I found it so funny is only a few nights ago I was looking on Reddit and a dude had posted a photograph of his finger and said, "Please help me, I'm stuck, what do I do?" He basically put his finger through the top of a broom handle. Like it was just a hole that I guess you would normally hang up on the wall or whatever. He's put his finger through it and his finger got stuck and he's like, "I genuinely don't know how to get out of this situation."
Well, I'm laughing because I like there's plenty of things where we all do it. We all kind of go, I could put my finger in that.
Like, you know what I mean?
Like
that, right?
Just fidgeting, just silly fidgeting things.
Yeah. If you know, could I get my head through that tennis racket? Let's give it a crack. Like, I don't know what it is about us that we do those things. Like, I have this beautiful flashback of going to the Royal Show with my family when I was little, with my siblings and my mum, and everyone was looking forward to it because we didn't go to the Royal Show every year. It was like, you know, tray fancy and expensive and we couldn't afford it.
Mm.
So it was like a big deal if we went. And when we walked to the bus stop to go to the Royal Show, I was so excited. I was jumping up and down on the bus stop seat on the wooden slats screaming, "We're going to the Royal Show. Yeah, we're going to the..." And then my leg fell through the slats and I got stuck in the bus seat.
Oh, you're joking.
Like in the bus stop.
Yeah.
And my mum had to pull me out, of course, but that grazed and cut my legs and everything because I, you know, the pressure of going down, it was pretty hard to get it out.
Did you still get to go to the show?
None of us remember if we went or not. We don't think we went. I think I ruined the day for everyone.
Oh, my goodness. Our middle child manages to get herself. She is one of the ones that tests the boundaries of can I get my head stuck in this? that's a neat enough gap. We've got this, we've got a lake in the middle of where we live, like the general area of where we live, out in Southern River. People go out to the area, they know exactly which one I'm talking about. It's got a spire in the middle of it. And, it's incredibly popular, especially on a nice afternoon. Like a day like today, there'll be people walking around this afternoon, heaps of people. And she went up the spire, got to the top, not as tall as her sister, so can't peek over the top to look down over the balustrade. So decided, I'm just going to pop my head through and got stuck.
Between the poles.
And the way that, like, she was, it's that typical hold with the head. She's trying to pull it out and then it's not working. And so she's screaming. She's absolutely screaming, arms out extended, yelling. And she can yell. This kid can yell. They would have heard her in Canning Vale.
Well, like, she's on the spire.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like she was heralding to everybody, "I'm stuck." And she was so loud. People were looking around. They were watching the entire thing. It took us about 20 minutes to get her out, you know, like pushing her head forward, tilting it a little bit, pull it back. No, that's not working. Okay, let's try this way. And eventually we got there. Didn't have to get the jaws of life, but yeah.
Well, in that situation, you're probably better off pushing her through the way that, like, do you know what I mean? Rather than pulling her back through.
You're right.
You should just push her through the other side, but that might mean that she falls a great height.
Or, you know, we'll just break her collarbones to see if we can just... Yeah,
well,
exactly.
You know, these things happen when you get stuck.
Yep.
You got to take the risk.
Marie and Wellard, where'd you get stuck?
I got stuck in a doggy door, of all things.
Great. How did you get there?
Well, you know, teenager, lost her keys, couldn't get into the windows. It was my only option. When you gotta go, you gotta go. So I went for it. To be fair, I had done it before and I had gotten through, but it had been a couple of years and, well, you know, puberty. So I kind of got wedged at the hips in the doggy door.
Got as far as your hips.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, that's a solid effort, mate. That is a solid effort.
How did you get out from the doggy door?
Eventually, my mum came home from shopping with one of her friends, and she thought that I was actually at the back end of the house because she could hear me from a distance. It wasn't until she went to go to the bathroom that I scared her because she saw me on the laundry floor.
How long do you reckon you were laying in the doggy door?
Probably a good, like, 10, 15 minutes.
Jesus.
Called out for her. And, yeah, she had to push me by the shoulders to kind of help me get leverage to wish myself out and then unlock the door and let me in.
Oh, this is the best thing. Great. It's the sort of thing you see in movies. It's great. Caitlin in Wellard, where'd you get stuck?
I got stuck between a downpipe and a pole at school at lunchtime when I was in year 5.
Right, because you were trying to get through a tight space.
No, there was actually a fair amount of space between the downpipe and the pole. And my friends and I were just thinking, like, wonder if we can fit through that. So we tried. I got my leg stuck, like, at the thigh. And I couldn't get it out. Naturally, all the kids in the lunchroom, like, oh, let's check this out. This funny chick's just gotten herself stuck. So I had to get butter from the canteen. Pull me out the other side. It was mortifying in front of so many students. Oh my gosh, it was terrible.
Oh my god, so you were lathering your thighs with butter to try and get yourself out of the gap.
It was terrible. I had so many scratches on my leg. It was so embarrassed.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure people listening would know exactly who I am.
Wow, forever and a day. They call you Toasty at school now. That's where you get that from. Far
this
out butter.
The best.
This is great. Karina, where'd you get stuck?
I got stuck at Perth Zoo elephant enclosure.
Oh, okay. Tell me more. How did you get in there?
Okay, so I think they've still got the same enclosure to this day. It would have been about 30 years ago, so let's flash back to then. I decided to put my head between the two copper's logs in the pergola section to get a better look at the elephants. My head went in one way, but my ears refused to let my head come out the other way. So they had to get keepers and a couple maintenance guys who decided it would actually be a good idea to get a circular saw and chop those copper logs around my head. So poor 8-year-old Karina had power tools near her head.
Oh my god, that would have been really frightening.
Oh, well, thankfully I don't remember it. It's probably buried deep down in my traumatic demons, but it's all good now.
It's just it's just ironic to hear you talk about your ears getting you stuck in Dumbo's enclosure. Kimber, it was quite the weekend. Coachella, Harry Styles and the headline act.
Yeah, I mean, he was so impressive. It was sort of, you know, I think he just really, he does have that star factor, doesn't he? But, I mean, he also brought out a surprise performance as well because he dragged Shania Twain onto the stage. It was kind of like a sequin spectacular between the two of them. They were like drowning in sequins. But he did a couple of numbers with Shania. He's got two of the songs he did with her.
With my mother as a child, this lady taught me to sing.
That is hectic. Wow.
It was a really big performance. I mean, he's just become such a big deal. I mean, like, Harry at the moment, you know, he's the first man to appear solo on the cover of Vogue magazine.
Yeah.
And that's in the likes of, you know, there's been George Clooney's and the Kanye West's before him, but they were always on there with another woman. But, you know, when it comes to Vogue and Harry, just Harry on his own.
Yeah. No, he's an absolute sensation. And it is going to have him. It's going to be great to have him here. I mean, Coachella itself is just such a, it's one of those bucket list items for me. I want to go to a Coachella. I want to be a part of all of that because you don't just get those big mega stars that you sort of go, okay, like he's a rock star. He's meant to be doing that. He's amazing. You get the surprises as well. And I don't know if you caught this, but have you heard of Danny Elfman?
Yes.
Okay. So
I know the name.
Right. Yep. So for people who don't know who Danny Elfman is, he's part of the, you know, one of the old school bands, Oingo Boingo. Known for some absolute classics. They're still great. Got up on stage. He performed this. But he's also the guy who was responsible for scoring a ton of films. So things like Edward Scissorhands, Batman from 1989, The Nightmare Before Christmas, Men in Black, Spider-Man, all that sort of stuff. But also The Simpsons. And he actually got up on stage at Coachella. The guy is ripped. He's ripped. He's buff.
I think people were surprised by that.
It's insane. Like, and he's just tattoos everywhere. 68. He's living his best life, having the absolute most amazing time. But he also composed The Simpsons, and they had that going as well with a huge orchestra. And then they went all full rock on The Simpsons theme and the stuff that they had going on in the background and everything. It was just incredible. So, yeah,
it's
far
so
out.
So cool. I mean, I feel, and you know what, Coachella, and I suppose I get this at any music festival, it's that freedom that you feel.
Yeah.
I love the freedom of a music festival. It feels like you have nowhere else to be in your life when you're there that day.
Yeah.
Like, whatever is happening, you're like, doesn't matter what else is happening because you're just so in it. And I don't think we have enough moments like that in life. That's why those festivals and things stand out so much for us, I think.
I agree with you. And look, if the sheer volume of sort of ticket announcements and stuff that we're doing and big tours that are coming back to Perth and stuff, surely, hopefully, festivals aren't too far away to follow. Pete, Matt and Kimber. Kimber, did you see the pictures of the brawl at the nail salon? My goodness.
Big day at Wanneroo Shopping Centre, wasn't it?
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Where do you even start with something like this?
Look, if you haven't heard the story, allegedly a brawl broke out at a nail salon over the weekend at Wanneroo Shopping Centre, where a woman says that she was physically attacked because they were sitting in the nail salon next to one another. And one of the women wasn't wearing a mask and the other one turned to her and said, could you please put your mask on? And this woman didn't want to put her mask on, and so they got into an argument, and then the next thing you know, it became physical.
Oh, like proper physical, like the footage. Oh. The footage of these two going after each other inside the shopping centre is just insane. And, like, parents around and kids are around there, obviously, with their families, because it was on Easter Sunday, wasn't it? It was like...
Yeah, and you know what? Oh. Like, I couldn't even watch the footage. I didn't watch it. It's like, I just feel really sad that I guess everybody's doing it tough right now and everyone's going through life maybe a little bit on edge.
Mm.
And that things aren't normal and everyone feels a little bit pressed.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's just, you know, when people are squeezed, you see what comes out, and I just it makes me feel icky.
I'll watch the footage. Side of popcorn. I'm actually thinking of
Tougher than me.
Well, I'm thinking of going back to Wanneroo Shopping Centre. Yeah, bought my tickets earlier today for round two, so see what happens.
Oh, bless. And it's not the lovely people of Wanneroo. It's just one of these situations. But I guess, like, you know, what are you supposed to do other than just tell people, try and be kind to each other? People have differing views and for whatever reason, but, like, you know, physical altercations and these kind of brawls and situations are just not acceptable.
Yeah, it's escalating it to an unnecessary area. Just remember, masks are still mandatory indoors in WA. So, yeah, just as you said, Kimber, couldn't have put it any better. Just be kind to each other.
Be kind.
Put a
Give
smile
it a crack.
On your face. You know, it's a nice day. Enjoy it. Soak it up. I've named three kids in my lifetime, Kimber, and I can tell you it's not bloody easy. It is not easy at all. So, you know, we've got Mila Sage, we've got Isabella Evie, we've got Oliver Archer. And even at this particular point in time, we're not entirely sold on Ollie's name, even though he's 10 months old.
Well, that's because you didn't go with that other cool one that I thought you should have gone with.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to say that out loud because, as I've mentioned, as we've mentioned, you know, before, we're sort of 99.9% sure we're not having a fourth, but there's always that 0.01% that just...
That sounds like a mistake.
Yeah.
That sounds like an accident waiting to happen.
Sounds like
Pete.
A Friday night with a few too many drinks. But I might have to employ this woman. Her name is Taylor A. Humphrey, and people might know who she is, but this is the first time we've come across her. She's a professional baby namer. She's got a TikTok channel. Take a listen to this.
I think it's best not to change a name once you've chosen it. You don't always have the ability to zoom out and see what the effect of having that name will have on our child.
And I suppose that's, like, true in a sense, because like more often than not, I know with our three kids, like Mila, because Mila was our first, we had that name locked. Like we like, we know, yeah, we know 100%. That's the name that we want for it. And when she was born, sort of looked at her and went, yeah, no, she's definitely a Mila. Cool. We've got this. Isabella, we called her half a dozen other different names for the first 2 or 3 days of her being born. And then
yeah, right,
used,
just trying them out.
Yeah, used Isabella day 4 and 5. And went, okay, no, we like the name Isabella, so we're going to lock that one in. But there are plenty of examples, I'm sure, of people who are probably sitting there listening right now going, God, I wish my mum had and dad had called me something different. You know?
Oh, yeah, lots of people don't like their name and they've got to carry it through life. But also, I can't understand the idea of naming someone else's child. Like if you said, oh, Kimber, I'm looking for baby names, and I said, cool, what about Stephen? And you go, oh, no, I went to school with a Stephen and he was a jerk. Oh, okay, well, what about you would just have 1,000 reasons to say no. Like how does this chick get paid to give people baby names?
Well, how about 150,000 reasons? So she's picking up more than $1,500 per child. Some couples are even stumping up as more as $10,000 for her services. She's 33 years old. In 2020 alone, she helped more than 100 babies. She's raking in more than $150,000 off the back of this. She goes on to say that if you look at the most popular baby names, it's such a telltale sign of their cultural values and our general aspirations. And she's out there doing things that range from a phone call and a bespoke name list based on answers given to a questionnaire, all the way up to more advanced genealogical investigations that she does to uncover old family names, like digging into their ancestry.
I mean, that's cool, you know, digging into a bit of ancestry, but she also has the $10,000 option where she charges you that selects a name that will be on brand with the parents' business.
On brand with the parents' business.
I mean, you know who she's dealing with in these sorts of circumstances. Like, if you have to get a name that's on brand with the parents' business, you're not really thinking about the kid at all, are you?
Not really, no. I mean, if we're talking about brands, I mean, there's no better example of this and what might happen with the name than that Dare Iced Coffee ad. You know the iced coffee ad where the nurse comes in and asks him what the name is and he goes on to say Callum?
Have you decided on a name?
We're thinking Callum.
This is Callum Murray.
Callum Murray to the seafood aisle.
Callum Murray. Why'd they name you that?
You can imagine that's the sort of thing where you'd be happy to pay you $10,000 to get somebody to name the kid instead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, picking a name is hard. Or you just make it up like my parents did. Just go with Kimber. That'll be fine.
And no, the spelling as well. It's like, we don't
know. You don't have to justify it. It is what it is. Yeah.
And then how many years of your life have you spent justifying your own name off the back of that?
You know, it got a lot easier when you're on breakfast radio and your name is written places. People don't think it's weird anymore. Like for many, many years, I had people going, Kimber, can you say that again? Kimber. And they thought it was really strange. And now that they've just been overexposed to it, it seems like it's the standard name.